It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, after the first Democratic primary debate last night, Harry Enten joins us for a weekly look at the latest in national politics.
First, a jury announced their verdict late yesterday that Badger Guns and its owners were liable in the shooting of two Milwaukee police officers. The trial has been going on for the last 3 weeks and attracted national attention. The verdict includes almost $6 million in damages to the officers, and there will be an appeal.
John Diedrich has been reporting on this case. He joins us again to talk about it. He's a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let refresh us on the basics, John. Talk us through what was at issue in this trial.
Well, this circulates around a shooting that happened in 2009. Two Milwaukee police officers were shot in the head, seriously injured during a stop on the near south side of Milwaukee. The investigation showed that the gun had been sold by Badger Guns a month earlier in what turned out to be a straw purchase. That's where somebody buys a gun for somebody else.
And the idea here is that the officers were trying to prove that Badger Guns was in part liable for the shooting and get financial compensation. So what did we hear from the jury? What did they decide in terms of compensation and awards here?
Right, that's a good summary of the case. They were alleging from the beginning that the gun store was negligent in its sales practices, that in fact it had broken the law five different ways, and that it negligently put the gun in the hands of the straw buyer. That's what the jury found. In four out of the five cases, they found that the gun store broke the law, that they knew or should have known that the individual that they were selling to was not the actual buyer of the gun. And then they also found delivered punitive damages against the store of $750,000. So the nearly $6 million in awards are compensatory damages that cover medical lost wages, future wages, pain and suffering, and then these punitive damages as well.
And this case has gotten national attention. Why are people looking at this trial and maybe seeing it as a precedent for other lawsuits?
Well, there's a federal law that was passed 10 years ago that made these kinds of cases all but extinct. It granted broad immunity to firearms dealers and manufacturers, though it does have exceptions, and under those exceptions is how this case was brought and ultimately made it to trial and a jury's verdict. This is only the second case nationwide to go to trial. There was one in Alaska earlier this year in which the jury found in favor of the gun store. So this is the first finding by a jury in favor of plaintiffs against a gun dealer in the United States since the law passed in 2005.
So the bar is very high for someone who's the victim of some kind of shooting to even get this thing into trial, much less to get the verdict they're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. Usually these cases end up getting dismissed if they don't have facts like were present in this case. In other words, allegations and proof that the law was actually broken. In this case, some of the proof that was most damning to the gun store was video from in-store surveillance cameras and so forth that showed that there were a lot of questions around these sales.
Talking to John Diedrich, he's a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Looking at the ruling yesterday from a jury in the Badger gun case, finding that gun store liable for providing a gun that was used in the shooting of two Milwaukee police officers. We'll talk about the specific kinds of negligence that the officers and their attorney were trying to prove and that the jury, for by and large, agreed with. Where did the gun store go wrong?
Well, what happened here is that Jacob Collins is the buyer of the gun. He comes into the store in May of 2009. He's 21 years old. He comes in with another individual by the name of Julius Burton, who is 18. And at 18, Julius Burton is not old enough to buy a handgun from a store. So Collins is the straw buyer in this case, Burton the actual purchaser of the gun. The video that was shown during testimony and during the trial was that Collins, as he was filling out forms, Burton sort of hanging over his shoulder. Collins is having trouble during filling out the form. He actually marks at one point that he is not the actual buyer of the gun, which experts said should have been a stop sign right there for the sale going ahead. The clerk allowed him to change his answer. There also was video surveillance that showed that the actual buyer, Burton, who ultimately shot the officers later, is seen pointing out the gun that he wanted and said, according to Collins, that's the one I want. So these indicators, it's known as red flags, if you will, of a straw buy, were very persuasive to the jury as I spoke to jurors after the case.
There's also a conspiracy allegation as part of this lawsuit. What was that about, and was that part of this jury's decision?
So this question did go before the jury. The question was, Badger Outdoors and Badger Guns are the two names of entities that occupied the same location in West Milwaukee for nearly 20 years. And I should add that these are gun shops that have accounted for the majority of crime guns that are recovered by police in the Milwaukee area. And Badger Outdoors was actually the largest supplier of crime guns in the nation for a number of years. So the case here was questioning whether Badger Outdoors essentially transferred their business that they were in fear of losing by federal regulation to Badger Guns. This is basically two members of the same family, and when one license was turned in by the father, the son pulled out his own license. So the conspiracy count was saying essentially they were trying to defeat federal regulators and keep an illegal gun sales operation going. The jury said in that case that they did not find in the favor of the plaintiff, so they rejected that claim.
I want to follow up that crime gun issue as a bit of a sidebar. You've reported on that in the past. Back when we had data, a lot of guns used in crimes were traced, as you say, back to Badger Guns. We don't have that data anymore, as I understand it. The federal law has changed. That's no longer collectible, findable data.
Yeah, well, it's still collected. It's not released publicly, and it cannot be easily shared as it was among law enforcement agencies before. This goes back to the so-called Tehart Amendment that was instituted about 11 years ago now. This also came out of, this was another reaction, a second one, in addition to this federal law, in reaction to these lawsuits that were coming in. And what this said was that the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, could not release any trace data totals about any gun stores nationwide. And if they did, they would lose funding from Congress. So they made it very clear, got the attention of the ATF. And there were other restrictions on this. And the effect of that has been that largely we've been in the dark as to how many gun traces individual stores have. We have learned sort of here and there about it because of lawsuits or pieces of information that come out, but it's not as systematically shared as it was before. And the concern for law enforcement is that they don't have as wide of access to be able to talk to, say, neighboring jurisdictions to find out, well, what are you finding out with your gun traces in your jurisdiction, and how can we learn about how guns are moving by comparing our traces.
As I understand it, the two officers in this case aren't the only ones injured by weapons traced back to Badger Guns. Are we expecting suits from other police officers?
Well, there has been another lawsuit that's been filed. There were six police officers who were wounded by guns from either Badger Outdoors or Badger Guns in a 20-month period. This is back in 2008, 9, and into 10. And during that period, none of these officers were killed, but these two officers were among the most seriously wounded. There's two more officers who filed suit, same lawyers involved, and that case is scheduled to go to trial here in Milwaukee next year in May. Yet to see if it's going to go to trial, but that's the schedule right now.
So the gun store owners, as I understand it, planning an appeal. Any idea of a timeline where this could ultimately go?
Well, we're looking for an appeal, and that's true. They are going to appeal, and it's going to be early next year. We expect an appeal. This will stay in state court. It'll go most likely through the appeals court. It could go directly to the state Supreme Court. There is a path where it could end up in the U.S. Supreme Court, which very rarely takes such any cases, but it may take this case because it does involve a federal law. The larger question, as I'm talking to experts today, is what sort of effect this might have beyond Wisconsin. Because we have a certain set of facts that happened here, you know, different cases have different facts, and we just have a Wisconsin case. What I'm hearing from experts is they're saying they expect plaintiffs will at least probably consider filing if they didn't before, because they could see that the case could be successful. It was in Milwaukee. And they might also look to see, well, how was that case and that law, how was it interpreted? Because there are certain definitions that have really never been tested in trial, and this was the first time that these questions were put before a jury that then found in favor of the plaintiff.
John, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Diedrich, reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was with us to talk about the ruling in the Badger Guns case, just announced late yesterday.